messages, come follow me. And if you would turn in your Bible to John chapter 8 today. While you're turning there, today's scripture reading is Psalm 146, verses 1 through 10. Verses 1 through 10. And it says, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man, in whom there is no help, for his spirit departs and he returns to his earth. In that very day his plans perish. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turns upside down. The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations, praise the Lord." Now, before I go on and pray over our scripture reading, I want to break that down just a little bit. The psalmist here, it's got a great message of help and of hope that we can't find in anyone else or anything else. Verse 1 says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul." And it says, "With my inner being, I praise the Lord." That's their translation of that. Verse 2 goes on to say, "While I live." Let's not wait to praise the Lord. Let's not wait to worship God. Let's not postpone that activity. Let's do it today, while I live. He goes on in verse 3 and 4 and says, "Don't put it in a son of man." Not the son of man, but a son of man. "For when he departs this earth, so do his plans." But verse 5 and 6 says, "Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God." So it gives us very clear instruction right there. Our help and our hope is in the Lord our God. Then he goes on. And today, one of these may be you. He executes justice for the oppressed. He gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. Today, maybe your eyes are closed. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over strangers. Maybe you feel like you're a stranger. He relieves the fatherless and the widow. But the way of the wicked, he turns upside down. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. And may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Well, today we're in John chapter 8. And we're going to be in verse 31. It's a familiar section of scripture. Verse 31 through 36 is our main text today. And I want to set the scene real quick. Jesus is in Galilee. He sent people on, said, "You go to the Feast of Tabernacles." And the Jewish people have three main religious holidays or feast that they celebrate. And it's Passover, Pentecost, and the Tabernacle of Feast. And I'm reading from chapter 7, if you're looking, by the way, going, where is he? But we're going to be in verse 31 of John chapter 8. So he sent his people on ahead of time. He sent listeners. He sent his brothers. He sent his disciples on, said, "You go on ahead." And then he kind of snuck in there. He knew that they were looking for him at this point. And he came into the tabernacle and he started teaching. And when he taught with them, they just marveled at it. And some people went to the leaders. They went to the Pharisees and said, "Why didn't you arrest this man?" He said, "But nobody's ever spoken like him before." How does that happen? So at this time, they're looking for Jesus. Well, why didn't you bring him? Jesus knew why, because the Son of Man, the time for the Son of Man had not come yet. And see, that is set by God, not by man. So man wanted to bring him in, but God said it's not his time yet. So he gets in there, and he's spoken to these people. And a couple different times in verse 7 and in 8, right before verse 31, in verse 30, he says, "As he spoke these words, many believed in him. If I were to take a poll today, how many of you today in church believe, and don't raise your hand, I'm just saying if I took a poll, most of you would raise your hands. I believe in him. I believe in God. That's what we're here for. Great news. Great news. That means we can proceed with today's message. So, we believe in him. In verse 31, it says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, and if we're believers, we should hear his word also. And he said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, the word abide means to continue, to remain, to stay in, to live in, to be in. If you stay in my word, in other words, you are my disciples, is what Jesus told them. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they answered him and said, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say that you will be made free? We may think that. How can you free us? I've never been owned by anybody. And Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Now we need to clarify, if we're followers of Christ, what all do we do? Well, we should abide in his word. The truth shall set you free. Adam, you're bald and you're kind of weird looking, and I just don't... Okay, that may be true, but I don't think that's going to set you free, and it certainly doesn't set me free, and it doesn't edify me. Okay, so we have to be real careful on the translation of this. When he's talking about the truth, it's the word of God. The word of God shall make you free. It's not saying the truth. Ephesians goes in and says, everything we do and say should be spoken in truth. And it doesn't say speak everything that's true. How many of y'all know that that's going to be a dangerous thing if we just spoke everything that was true? But it says as Christians, as Christ followers, when we speak, it should be the truth. When we do things, we should do it in truth. It doesn't say everything that is true. Our feelings would be hurt forever, probably. They probably would. So this is calling us to know the truth, to abide in his word, and to live in his word. It has to change us. It also says, as you go on in Ephesians, it says it should edify the body. Now that doesn't mean that sometimes we should speak the truth and it needs to be said, and we may think, that doesn't edify me. And we have to make sure we know the difference. That may have hurt my feelings. But does it edify you? Is it said to build you up and make you a better person and make you stronger? And hopefully so. So we have to be real careful with those differences as we try to make the Bible fit what we're saying and fit our situation. But this word should transform us. It should change us. It should alter us. We shouldn't be the same. Think back 6 months from now. Wait, we're our students, our young people, think back a month from now. Summer break, no school, staying up late, sleeping in late, doing whatever maybe. Now look at today, back in school. Adults, think back 6 months from now. Where were you spiritually? What were you even doing? I don't know. Think back a year from now. Where were you spiritually? What were you doing? 3 years ago, what were you doing? I know what you were doing. You were overcoming. You were growing. That's what we need to do. Today's a tough day for me. One year ago today, at this exact time, I was in Manford, Oklahoma. They had a forest fire up there, and they had the wildfires and burning up Manford, Oklahoma. I was there with Eric Ferguson. We were taking a class, finishing up my my ordination process, finishing the last class I had to take up there. And so we drove up 6 in the morning to go to early morning class. It's going to be a couple hours with Dr. Johnson in Manford, America. Exactly 1 year ago at this time, I got a message from my twin. And I still have it. And it says, 911. Sierra has been shot. Not a good outcome. Second text, I thought, who is bothering me while I'm trying to study? Because I didn't read the first one. 2 minutes later, said, I'm with Sarah, my sister, and mom, going to tell the kids. Sierra died. You see, my sister's son had been shot at a nightclub in the wee hours of the morning, about 2 or 3 in the morning, down on 23rd and Spencer. Many of you guys know that. Most of you guys know that. And it was life-changing. It wasn't until that time, some 7, 8 hours later, that she found out that it was her son that had been shot and killed. She was trying to recover over the death of her husband 2.5 years before that. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth, the word of God, shall set you free. We're a year later, and she's still struggling with that, but getting better. And I remember driving down the road. I went out and talked to my mother. And for the second time in my life, she had to say, somebody that I loved and cared about deeply had died. The first one was my father, 26 years before that. And she couldn't believe it. Her firstborn grandson is now dead. As we found out months later, Sierra had left a wonderful present for my sister, a granddaughter, that they named Sierra. And so she feels that his spirit lives on. But it's real easy to sit here while life goes good for me. How about you guys? Maybe things you're dealing with that I don't know about, that we don't know about. Today's message is come follow me. And it's not me, it's me, Jesus, saying come follow me. Would you abide in me? Would you live with me? Would you live in my word, study my word? Would you grow up in these things? Will you follow me no matter what? Will you speak the truth to me when it needs to be said, but will you do it in a spirit of love and gentleness? If we are going to follow Jesus in that spirit of truth and gentleness, there's a couple things we have to do for our application to follow Jesus. And following Jesus is pretty simple. I just want to give you a couple things. Abide in Him. Number one, abide in Him. Stay with Him. Talk to Him. Talk with Him. And then every now and then, slow down and listen to Him. Because I guarantee He is trying to tell us what to do. Amen? Spencer and I were watching a video the other day. I was just trying to find some things that tied into this, and I thought, well, I'll just tell you about the video. Anybody have the little tell you where to go systems. What are they called? What? Yes. Things tell you where to go. Map in, here's where I need to go, and it tells you where to go. Turn left here. Turn left on blah, blah, blah street. And you're thinking, I don't think that's right. And what do? We keep going. I used one of those with my mother-in-law. Mistake number one. On a trip with Eric Ferguson. Mistake number two. And we had that thing. And my beautiful wife was in a car next to us in Dallas. And Mrs. Ferguson were in the other car. So we rolled down our windows. We're in stop-and-go traffic in Dallas. And Eric says, this thing says take this way. That's what she said, follow me. So now we're going this way. She said, see ya. And they blazed on ahead 3 feet. As traffic broke up, they went the right way and we went this other way. Oops, construction. Guess what that thing doesn't tell you? Where there's construction. And every exit for the next 5, almost 10 miles was closed. Cindy's mom is a worrier. And she said, oh my Lord. Eric, I won't tell you exactly what she said, but the gist of it was, Eric, throw that thing out the window. I can't stand it. Because it kept telling us to take an exit that wasn't there. So I finally took an exit, turned around, and said, I think this will get us back where we need to go. But of course, to have fun, what did I do? I said, no, actually, this is going the opposite way. It wasn't. It was taking us back where we needed to go, but I told her that. We wanted to go our own way. We tried to set our own path, and all we did was get lost. Anyone relate to that? Tried to fix it on my own. Tried to do it on my own. And I got lost. That could be instructions to assembling a TV stand, a bicycle, a tricycle. Look on the internet. It's filled with things people tried to do on their own. You ever see the one in the car and it's got like a lawnmower wheel with a flat cart underneath it instead of putting a wheel on there? Those are people trying to do things on their own. And it may work for this long or you may think it works. Look on the side of the road. Cars with Space Saver donut tires. Flattened. It says don't go over 50 miles an hour. Oh, that's for nothing. They're flying past you at 80 miles an hour. And you know, because you're doing 75. And they've got that Space Saver. It'll work for a while, folks. But reality is we've got to listen to the instructions. It's going to get us there safely. So abide in Him. Stay with me. We have to submit constantly. Wednesday night Bible study. Miss Thelma, you said we have to renew our minds. When? Once? No. Constantly. Daily. Daily we have to choose to submit. I thank you for each one of you that are here today. Why? Because you had a choice. You had a choice to come or a choice to stay at home. And man, I wish you'd choose to come every week. If you do, thank you. If you're still voting, vote on the elections, but not at church. Not on serving and following God. When you abide in Him and submit to Him, you have to trust Him. You have to pray to Him. You have to be obedient to Him. You know, it's time we jump in and don't look back. As Christ followers, as members of His church, let's jump in. If we've been doing the same thing over and over, let's jump in and don't look back. And then, let's find joy in Him. Let's find joy. And I know this thing in the psalm that I read. It says, happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help. And happy is a very temporary thing. It can be a very temporary thing. How are you feeling today? Man, I'm feeling happy. Okay, but the first thing goes wrong, boop, that could go. Joy is inside of us. And sometimes we have to scratch the surface a little bit and find that. Use a brush and some water and clean that off and say, I found the joy that was inside of me. It was covered up. But I have found the joy that is inside of me. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Amen? Number two, to follow Jesus, you have to know the truth. You have to know the truth, and you have to know His Word. You have to understand His Word. You have to listen. The Bible's full of teachers. And I always want to challenge myself. Is this biblical? Is it what the Bible says? Am I taking something in the Bible and trying to apply it to what I'm saying? Pastor Jack always said, line things up. And you don't line it up with your feelings. You line it up with this, the Word of God. And let this be your judge. Because if we do things based on feeling, hey man, that sounds great. I just told you guys about that. Sounds great, let's turn left here. Now they're going down there, they said they know where they're going, but let's go this way. Sounds great, but got us lost. We weren't really lost, we were just in the wrong place. And we found our right place 10, 15 minutes later. What defines your truth? Young people, and young can be anyone younger than me, and I just had my 50th birthday. So young people, what is defining your truth? The media? Everybody's celebrating that I just called them young, right? The media, the magazines, the newspapers, school, work, what people wear, what they say, how they say it. John 1 says you will find it in Jesus, for Jesus is truth and God is love. We try and make these things fit our situations. When we choose to follow Jesus, we no longer say, I want this to fit my situation. We're going to make time for Jesus. When I was younger, I had time for that. I didn't have so many choices. Our younger people that don't drive yet, sometimes you don't have a choice. You have to go where the car's going. But as you get older, you're going to have choices. My parents gave me the car to go to Bible study, but I went and hung out at the park with my friends. Don't think that's happened. I had friends that did it that went to our church when I was growing up. Where were you? Oh, I went to the park instead. My parents gave me the car so I'd go to church. You have choices. What did I say? The fumes, the car fumes and the perfumes always start distracting you and pulling you away. We're free in Christ. The Bible tells us we are free in Christ. We're not free to do as we please, though. We're free from sin. I say to you in verse 34 says, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of that sin. And the slave does not live in the house forever. But a son can live forever. Therefore, if the Son of Man makes you free, you shall be free indeed. We're free from sin. I've been through a lot of stuff, Adam. I understand that. I may not know specifically. But God the Father took our place for our sins, and He took our place for our sorrows and our pain and our suffering. And we're free to lay that up and give that up to Him. This isn't about self-control necessarily. Self-control certainly is in there, but it's not about self-control. It's about obedience. And there's a difference in the two. It's about abiding in Him. It's about being obedient, submitting to what He does, trusting Him, praying to Him, and being obedient. It's about living in Him and with Him. It's about getting through the things that He puts you through. It's about saying, I can overcome that. I don't need those things. The truth shall set you free. The Word of God shall set you free. Several weeks ago, I read Proverbs 29, 11. And it says, "A fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back." This includes the truth. And by that I mean the truth, "Adam, you're bald and you're really kind of odd looking to me." That type of truth, not the Word of God. We don't want to hold that back from anybody. So Proverbs tells us, be careful with what we say. Don't just ooze out everything we're thinking. Don't ooze out everything on the top of our head. A wise man holds back some of his feelings. As we get ready to close today, I want to tell you a little story about a guy. And this guy had a lot of things. We're going to prepare for a baptism here in just a minute. We're going to celebrate that also today. And this guy had a lot of possessions. He had a wonderful family that he loved very much. And unfortunately, he lost all that. He lost his family, he lost his house, he lost his possessions. His family died. And he was devastated. And I want you guys to picture in your mind what you have lost. It could be a job. It could be money. It could be a house. It could be a loved one. It could be your entire family. It could be a baby. It could be a marriage. It could be your dignity. Think about what you have lost. And this guy lost everything, and his friend said, "Man, how can you serve that God?" And I thought about my sister. As little by little, she was losing the men in her life. My father several years ago. Her husband 2.5 years ago. Now 3.5 years ago. Her son a year ago today. And this guy rose above it, though. And his name is Job. And he lost everything. And his friends started harassing him. And he started questioning God. "God, why would you do this to me?" And let me tell you, it is okay to question God. "God, why did you do this?" But hopefully you listen, and hopefully God says, "I did this because I needed to do this for whatever reason." He's a sovereign God. And he may not answer you, but it's okay to ask him. It's okay to be upset. It's okay to be angry. In Job 13:15. And if you're struggling with something today, I want you to remember this. And I want you to believe in this, and I want you to hold on to this. And it's simple. It's so simple. In Job 13:15, he said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Amen? "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Let's pray. Father, today we come before you with hurts, with pains, with sufferings. Lord, I know that this body has those things. They may be public, they may be private, they may be known or unknown. "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." God, today, for those that are feeling unworthy, unrighteous today, Lord, would you just put your loving arms around them? Father, today, let them know, no matter what they've been through, they are worthy to be loved by you. They are worthy to be sanctified and set apart by you in your house, in your kingdom, in this world. Where man may not forgive them, where man may not see them that way, you see everybody that way. Lord, those that are struggling with divorce, those that are struggling with marriages, that are just in trouble right now, Lord, that you would lift them up. Lord, those that are struggling with loss of loved ones recently or over the years. Lord, those that are struggling with lost babies. Could be years ago, Lord, but they still struggle with the loss of a baby. Born as an infant or stillborn, but lost nonetheless. Lord, those that are struggling with abortion from the past, those that are struggling with unwanted pregnancies, those that are struggling with all the different things that come with those activities. Lord, those that have been abused mentally, spiritually, physically, sexually. Lord, for those that have been involved in family incest, those that have been raped, Lord, that you would give them freedom today, that you would give them freedom from dragging that baggage around. Lord, those that are struggling with alcoholism, drug abuse, sex addiction, pornography, Lord, that you would free them from those things today. Lord, those people that are stuck with gambling, they may not see it as a big thing, but constant gambling, not as a recreation thing, but as a livelihood, trying to make it that way and losing money that's valuable to the income. Lord, those that are struggling with just being obedient to you today, those that are struggling today, Lord, to follow you, to serve you in this church, to give and to give tithes obediently to you, to provide for this church the things they need to operate. Lord, just servants in the house of God, struggling to find people to mow the lawns, Lord, to clean the building, to teach our children, to teach our young people, to teach the adults, Lord. Bring servants in. Lord, those people feeling unworthy for things they've done in their life. Lord, would you free them today? Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Yet will I trust in him. As we continue to pray today, Lord, release them from that bondage today. For your word says the truth, the word of God shall set them free. Your word says nothing can separate us from your love. Would you make that truth apparent to them today? If I've mentioned something today that you're struggling with, that you're hurting from, that you've dealt with, and you feel comfortable raising your hand, would you just raise your hand so I can continue praying over you today? Thank you, Lord. Lord, for anger, for depression, for frustration. Lord, for cheating people. We may have stolen in the past, Lord. Thank you. Father, for all the things that they've done, harming somebody physically, harming somebody mentally, emotionally, abusing husbands and wives, abusing each other in those manners, abusing their kids, kids abusing their parents in that way. Thank you. Father, today, for those that have raised their hands, for those that didn't, for those that are struggling with those things, Lord, I ask you that you show yourself in a mighty way, in a mighty way. Lord, that they feel freedom like they've never felt before. Lord, they feel acceptance in your family and in this family, in the family of God, like they've never felt before. God, release them from the pain that they feel, the shame that they may feel, that you would release that from them, that they know that they are righteous in your eyes. Father, we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.